Let me warn you up front this morning that I'm going to begin by sharing the most horrible, the worst, corniest jokes you're ever going to hear in your life. I just want to preface these jokes by saying that right up front that I found some thank you jokes, and they're terrible. They're terrible. This is the truth. They're terrible. And I just thought I would preface it. But so why are you going to tell them? Because I enjoyed them. You know, I'm sure you won't. And I ran these by my kids, and they didn't appreciate them, but I laughed. Okay. And so here we go. Here's the first one. A mom and dad were taking their newborn son for a stroll when a stranger looked into the carriage and said, "What a beautiful baby." The father thanked the stranger and said, "Yes, my son, here is some of my best work." And the mother, annoyed by her husband's remarks, asked him, "Why did you take all the credit for our son? I carried this baby for 9 months. I delivered him after 10 hours of labor. All you did was had 10 minutes of fun." And the husband replied, "When you have a good meal, who do you thank, the chef or the oven?" Okay, see? That's the same look my son gave me. He's like, "You got anything else, Dad? You got anything else?" Okay, here's another one. It's they're bad, they're bad. They go from bad to worse. A guy wants a divorce. He tells the judge, "Thank you, Your Honor. I can't take it anymore. My wife is out going from bar to bar every night, way past midnight." And the judge asks, "Well, what's she doing?" And the guy says, "Looking for me." Yeah. Somebody says, "Stop. No mas. No mas. You don't know any of the Spanish, but no mas. No mas. Uno mas." One more, last one, for real. I will stop torturing you. All right, here it goes. Boy says to his dad, "Dad, I have an imaginary girlfriend." The dad says, you know you can do better than that, right?" "Thanks, Dad. That means a lot," the boy replied. The dad says, "I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to your girlfriend." Okay. Good night, Houston. Today I want to continue to talk about generosity. More specifically, I want to talk about the generosity of God. I think we can all agree that God is a generous God. We've seen countless times in Scripture, in the lives of people we know, and even in our own lives, the great generosity that God pours out on his people. We understand that it is God's pleasure to give us good gifts. How many of you would agree? But is there something that releases the generosity of God more in some lives than in others? Is there something that could actually short circuit or even block God's generosity in our lives? I'm sure all of us at one time have asked that question. Why does it seem like other people are always being blessed and seems like I'm being passed over from time to time? Or why don't I see the same type of generous God in Scripture at work in my life? Why don't I see those types of God's miraculous generosity being manifested in my life? In Luke chapter number 17, verses 11 through 19 is where we want to look to learn something that I think is important about God's generosity. Starting at verse number 11, it says, here's Jesus, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, the Samaritan, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. A better translation of well, your faith has saved you. Some of you may have heard this story before. I think it's somewhat of a familiar story, maybe if you've grown up in church or been around church for a while, and maybe for some of you, you're hearing this story for the first time. But the story is basically about these 10 men who had leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible disease on a number of different levels. It was thought to be very contagious and an incurable disease. Now, the disease itself caused your skin to get sores and bumps and could even become discolored. What also made this disease so damaging was the effect it had on your nerves. You see, you could actually lose feeling in your extremities, like your hands, your feet, as a result of leprosy. Just imagine if you lost a feeling in your extremities. So what could happen is you could step on a nail and not even know it. The infection would begin to set in, your foot would begin rotting, and you wouldn't even feel it. You wouldn't know it until gangrene showed up. Or you could be cooking and not realize your hand was touching the fire. And all the while, you're burning your flesh down to the bone. So you can just imagine what these lepers must have looked like in addition to the sores and the bumps and the discoloration. Then not having feeling and maybe getting infections and bruises and maybe even broken bones. So when you saw a person with leprosy, they could have very well looked hideous and disfigured, not to mention the smell from infection or rotting skin and flesh. In addition to the physical aspects, a Jewish law declared that anyone that had leprosy was declared unclean. And so as a result of that, you had to live apart from everyone. And you couldn't be touched by anyone, nor could you touch anyone. If you touch someone, that person then would be considered unclean and would have to go through some type of ceremonial cleaning. So someone with leprosy, and people that had leprosy, they lived outside of the city limits. They lived on the fringes. And some of them would band together and live together and form what were called leper colonies, where they would join forces and live together to try and create some sense of community, some sense of connection, because they felt so disconnected. People with leprosy, they would form these colonies to just simply try and survive. And in addition to that, they were considered cursed. They were considered cursed by God to have this dreaded disease. And because of this disease, they couldn't work, they had no jobs, and they had no cattle, they had no way to support themselves, so they relied on the mercy, they relied on the pity, they relied on the benevolence of others. If they saw someone from a distance, they would begin to scream, unclean, unclean, so that people would scatter, so that as they walked around, as they came close, no one would come in contact with them, no one would touch them, and then be declared unclean. they would, with a loud voice, scream from a distance because they couldn't get close, begging for food, begging for scraps, begging for anything that anybody would offer them. The life of a person with leprosy was no life at all. Physically and emotionally, every day they woke up facing death. And if you thought you were healed, what Jewish custom, what Jewish law required was you had to go and present yourself to the priest. And it was only the priest who could had to, his job was to examine you to declare whether or not you were cleansed, you were clean, you were healed of this horrible, horrible disease. These 10 men that Jesus introduces us and talks to us about were probably part of a leper colony. It also mentions that there was a Samaritan among the 10. I don't know how many Samaritans were among the 10, but certainly there was one. So there were probably a mix of Jews and Samaritans. These people didn't normally mix, but under the circumstances and the conditions, they did. And this was obviously very unusual because Samaritans were what the Jews considered half-breeds. Because the Jewish people, they didn't mix with other races. They only married Jews. But Samaritans married non-Jews and started having children. And these people were considered half-breeds. And the Jews looked down on them and despised them because of their mixing with other people. Verses 12 and 13 say this: as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." These lepers must have heard about Jesus. They must have heard about who he was and the things that he was doing. They must have heard about his healing power. And it says that they shouted, and of course they shouted from, they had to shout because they had to keep their distance. And the shout and the cry that went out to Jesus was simply, "Have mercy. Whatever you can offer us, we're willing to take." Verse 14 goes on to say, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." I love this next part of the verse. It says, "And as they went, they were cleansed." But James says this. He says, "Faith without works is dead." And so Jesus says, and they knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew that the only reason they would go to the priest was for the priest to declare that they were healed, that this horrible disease had been cleansed, that they had been restored, that they had been renewed. And he gives them the command and he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, when Jesus says that, they still have leprosy. And so it required a step of faith to, with your body mangled with the disease, to take a step in the direction of what Jesus said has already taken place in your life. And as they went, they were healed. Can you imagine? Maybe one of them, gangrene, had claimed a leg, or maybe they had lost limbs, or maybe the stench of the infections and the rotting flesh was there. And as they're walking, can you imagine strength coming back to their bodies and limbs being formed? I just can't imagine what that looked like when the 10 of them are looking at one another and they're saying, "Wait a minute, your skin is clearing up." And he's saying, "Wait a minute, your skin is clearing up, and limbs are being grown, and miracles are taking as they went." We walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He was a half-breed. He was considered worse than dogs in the sight of Jews. One of the 10 comes back. I imagine the other 9, when they saw their new lease on life and the healing and the strength, I don't know about you, but I would have been celebrating. I would have been, man, I'm making a beeline. I'm going home. I want to see mama and them. I want to see my children. I've missed years of their lives. I want to enjoy the comfort of a home again. I want to experience touch again. I want someone to look at me not with disdain, not with disgust, not with turning their heads or frowning their face or turning up their nose, but I want to look, I want the experience of a smile resting on my face. I want to eat a hot meal at a table. I want to watch the big screen. I want to take a ride around the block in the chariot. I want to enjoy all the things that we get to enjoy that we take for granted every day that others they take for granted. But I want to soak them all in. And so I can imagine that the other 9, after they went to the priest, ran running home and just excited about what had happened. It's interesting to me because it says that when they saw Jesus, they shouted, "Have mercy." We usually make a lot of noise when we want something, but then we forget to make a big noise when we get it. Oh, they were shouting, but then we couldn't hear a peep. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" Then Jesus says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." You already got your physical healing, but now you got spiritual healing. You're going to be reconnected to your community, to your friends and your family, but now you're going to have a connection with me. There was a relationship that was restored. Here's what I want you to say. All 10 lepers were healed. I'm sure all 10 of them were grateful, but only one gave God thanks. Only one gave expression to his gratefulness. Only one turned back to say thank you. Only one gave God the thanks that he deserved. How does this happen? Deuteronomy chapter number 8, God warns the people this way in verse number 11. He says, "Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day." Look at verse 12. "Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, when your 401k is creeping up, when you get the promotion, when you get that house and the car and the clothes, and now you can afford to go out and even supersize it, now you can go on vacations, and now you can walk through the mall and not just window shop, but actually pull out and pay for it. 14. Then your hearts will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In other words, don't forget where the blessings have come from. And then don't forget to give him thanks and praise. Here's what I don't want you to miss. It wasn't enough for them to be grateful. Jesus didn't require them to give thanks, but he expected it. Are you following me? Here's the point that I want to make. The one leper that came back, his thanks released everything that Jesus had prepared. Are you getting this? Your lack of praise can cut off the generosity of God in your life. Here's what the Word of God says about thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all, not for, but in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't require the lepers to come back and give thanks, but he certainly did expect it. What do you need to give God praise for? What is it that God has blessed you with that you need to give him praise for? This is an important point to catch, because if you miss this, you'll short circuit the things that God has already prepared for. The things that he's already put in place. See, you thought that he blessed you and answered your prayer, but that may have just been part one of the blessing. Right? Part two is waiting on your praise. And see, God gave all 10 of them part one of the blessing. But only one got part two, and that was released as a result of his praise. And what I'm saying to you is, when God blesses you, don't forget to give him praise. Because if you do, you may miss out on what God is getting ready and has already prepared for you in advance. Sometimes we can get so caught up and grab and run. And Jesus is saying, wait, there's more to my generosity. There's more that I've prepared for you. There's more that I want to bring into your life. I'm just waiting for you to acknowledge and give me the praise. Let me say this. We need to give him praise, as Thessalonians says, in the good times and in the... when we get what we want and when we don't get what we want. But I'm wondering how many of you have left some blessings on the table because of your lack of praise. because you've forgotten where it came from. And those nine were satisfied with the healing, and it was a tremendous blessing. But they missed the best part. And how many of you are satisfied with half of what God has for you and missing out on the better half of what he's already prepared for you? Close me out, Joel. Most of you know that my mother has been diagnosed with a cancer. It's considered a bone cancer. And as a result, she hasn't eaten by mouth now for about a year. And so she has a feeding tube that she has to clean and flush out, and she has to take care of the site where the tube goes inside of her stomach. I was talking to her the other day because they had to stop her chemo treatment because things weren't going well and some of her numbers were down, and I don't understand all of the science behind it, but they weren't able to keep the chemo treatment going, so they said, we'll take a hiatus, we'll take a break, and hopefully your numbers, your health, your strength will come up, and we'll be able to start the chemo again. And she says, you know, I was talking with her, I was with her yesterday, running all over the place with her yesterday, and she says, you know, I'm not getting the chemo, but man, I could use the break because when I get it, I'm always sick. She was just talking about how horrible it makes her feel. I know that she's in pain. I know that her back bothers her and she has pain all of the time. Now, lately, her vision has been even affected by what's going on. And so yesterday I was talking with her and we were running around. She wanted to get her hair done. Guys don't know nothing about this stuff, but I took her to the beauty salon to get her hair done, and I got her back home, and we were talking, and so now there are times when we're talking, and she has to close one eye to kind of focus and to see, and her health is not good. She's in pain all of the time. She's not able to experience anything going in her mouth for about a year now, having to go through chemo and the pain and the discomfort that comes with. But what strikes me is every time I visit her, before I leave, she says the same thing. She says, let's give God a prayer of thanksgiving. Not because she has her health, not because she has everything she wants. She's not giving thanks because she's not in pain. She's not giving thanks because she doesn't dread having to go back into the chemo that will hopefully heal her body. She gives them thanks because she knows there's more to God's generosity. She knows that it's in her praise. This is part one, but I'm trusting that there's a part two. There's a part two. We receive the blessings of God and we run to our homes. We can't come out on Sunday because it's too cold. We can't lift our hands in the sanctuary. I'm worried about other people, what they may. I don't know if he deserves all that. There are people laying in hospital beds today, mustering up all the strength they have to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this hospital bed that I'm laying on. Thank you. Thank you for the doctors and the nurses and the medical staff. Thank you for the little portion of health that I have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are some people today with no clothes. No clothes. We opened a closet and had to decide which outfit we would wear. We walk outside and decide which car we will drive. Most of us are going home to a cupboard full of food. And yet we can't give him thanks and praise. Let everything that has breath because the very air that you breathe, every time you inhale, your exhale ought to be filled with praise. He deserves it. It says that one leper came running back. And when he got there, he didn't know Genesis to Revelation. His theology may not have been quite right, but he knew enough to give God thanks. He may not have had a fancy dance, may not have known how to wave his hands the way we do in church, may not have known all the songs, but he knew how to throw himself at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you. I've lost a lot, the Samaritan must have said. But I've gained it all back in Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I may not have a job to go to on Monday, but today I'm saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My health may not be where it needs to be, but with the little bit that I have, thank you. 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 Come on, would you stand all over this sanctuary? Nobody had to tell the Samaritan what to do. Nobody told him, run back and fall at his feet. Nobody said, shout with a loud voice. The Samaritan just knew, I need to give him thanks. I need to give him praise. I need to give him glory. I need to give him honor today. With all that we have and all that God has blessed us with, he deserves our praise. From the rising of the sun to the setting of his name, his name, his name, his name. Come on, would you give him thanks today? Would you worship him? Come on, give him glory.